Hello, I'm Helen Waters from the Christea Roberts Gallery, and this is Making a Mark, the podcast series which looks at artists and their relationship to printmaking. What you're hearing is the sound of Christiana Baumgartner inking up one of her plates. She's an artist who works almost entirely in woodcut, and she's using a roller to layer on the ink.
Often one can tell by the sound if the ink is right. So better by ear than by eye.
Baumgartner's woodcuts are completely unique. They're often monumental in scale, and the images she selects to cut are rendered in the most minute detail. There's an incredible craftsmanship in her work, and also imagination.
I mean, the work is very philosophical about what it's like being human in the world. But it wears its thoughtfulness lightly, and that's the appeal. You know, it's not bending over backwards to impress you with its profundity, but that's all there.
Usually you can do, in woodcut, you can print surfaces, and she is not interested in surfaces, she's interested in lines, and all her lines are basically horizontal. And that's something really entirely unique in the whole scene of contemporary printmaking.
Christiana Baumgartner was born in Leipzig in 1967 and still lives there today. To get to her studio, you have to climb a lot of stairs to get to the top floor of a building.
What a weather outside. Oh, my God. So we come into my studio.
The studio is a beautiful space filled with light from five big windows. I always really enjoy coming here.
I mean, you come out of this courtyard and it's busy downstairs, and then you come up here and it's just peace.
It's based at the Spinnerei, a former cotton mill, which is now a huge complex of artist studios and galleries.
And this was actually the bathroom of the workers.
Ah, okay. But it's wonderful because the ceilings are so high, and when you walk in, you've pinned up all the proofs of some of your much earlier woodcuts, and they're all pinned to the wall.
Here on the left, on the upper left, we got Wish You Were Here, next to The Wave, and on the right side, on the lower part of mine wall, we got the first proof print of Phoenix.
The work that Baumgartner's perhaps best known for, and which brought her to international attention, is Transall, which is the German name for a military transport plane. This woodcut measures 4 metres in length and is now held in major museum collections, including the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Its scale is unprecedented.
It's huge. It's gigantic. It's enormous. When you see it for the first time, it's a slap in your face.
Christian Rumelin is keeper of prints and drawings at the Musée d'Art et d'Histoire in Geneva.
It shows a Transall, this military aircraft, which she picked out from a newspaper, a German newspaper. So you have aligned three aircrafts on an airbase, one behind another, and basically everything goes horizontal. Or the lines are horizontal, the wings of the aircrafts are horizontal, and the structure of the lines underline the structure of the image. It's one of the most striking images in woodcut done the past 50 years.
When you came back from London after you finished your master's at the Royal College, you started making woodcuts, which were based on your own photographs and film stills. Can we talk about how you came to that decision? Because you were making lots of films and videos in London, weren't you?
Yes, I was using a lot my digital camera as a kind of a sketchbook, and I made time-based art. I wouldn't really call it film because it didn't have a drama or a storyline, but it was more like a very slow moving image. But then when I came back to Leipzig, I felt like I want to go back doing something by hand and making the loop back from the digital towards the analog. And I really liked the idea of using a video still image, because with video you got 25 images per second and you got such a rich amount of information. And I had this idea it would be good to go back to the very ancient technique of image reproduction. What is the woodcut and what is the most simplest form? Because you just need a sharp knife and a piece of board. But it took me at least a year to figure out that for me the best option of bringing this idea out would be the use of the line grid.
Think about an old television screen and how the image is made up of horizontal lines. Well, it's this arrangement, this construction of an image that Baumgartner's picked up on and uses to such effect in her printmaking.
They look different according to how the viewer's body is placed. And there's a certain viewing distance where the image reads as figurative.
Gillian Forrester is an independent curator and scholar and the former curator of prints and drawings at Yale Center for British Art in the US.
But if one gets closer, which is a fantastic experience because you can really see these lines, then the image becomes abstract. So she's an artist that's constantly, I think of her as a border walker, you know, walking between abstraction and figuration.
She carves the plates herself by hand, line by line. They're so big, she sometimes has to lie on top of them to cut them. Each plate takes her months, sometimes even years, to complete.
I'm just cutting line for line out of a piece of plywood. And because I'm using just a sharp knife, actually usually an specially sharpened kitchen knife, I have to cut at least three times for each line. So I have to cut from one side and then from the other side, and then I need to get a gap out, and then I need this knife to get the rest. So it's just very meditational piece I'm doing. The good thing about this is that one needs to be concentrated, because there are tiny differences. For instance, here is more lighter and I should not miss it. Yeah, some of these nuances are very important. And the good thing about the cutting is that I can stop each time I want to, compared to the printing process where this is not possible. Yeah. So when I realize I lose the right energy or the right spirit, I give it up. Yeah.
Her whole process depends on a minute decision in every second. So it's something totally different than a CAD process or a mechanical process. And it's not something you could quite easily delegate.
In this corner, I draw all the smaller plates, look at recently printed, or so here are some really old plates. Here's Lisbon. This was actually my first plate, my first woodcut in this technique. And you can see the plate still looks good.
The image, one of four, is of traffic on a motorway, taken from a video she shot in Lisbon. Each image is of the same view, just taken at a slightly different time, just milliseconds apart.
You know, because I had made a computer print out in the same size. So when I then placed this print, my woodcut print, next to the computer print out, it was such a different result. Yeah. So my mistakes and all my hustle and my bad days and my good days, it's all in it. Yeah. And it's so much more alive. It's such a difference. So I was really, I was really happy. And then I gave this one piece to a show. I saw it on the wall. I thought, it's nice, but it's not about passing of time because it's just one image. And so I went back and decided to cut three more images of the same footage where kind of an traffic jam had built up. So now I got a series of four, but in the beginning I didn't think of a series. This often happens during the process.
Yeah. And that idea of capturing the passing of time, even if it's 1 second or part of a second, those earlier woodcuts, a lot of them deal with that idea of time and speed. I find that really interesting because you're slowing things down by cutting, and you're making these static images of moving kind of cars or aeroplanes or whatever it is.
It had to do with speed and standstill and on revolutions of speed and how we react to speed. So this was one idea, and I had in mind why I thought it's a good idea to use speed-related images, and also the idea of the road. You have the central perspective and the road goes in the middle of the image, straight in the center and then up because there was a hill. And I thought this was also a point. It's about information, transport of information, the amount of cars going in this direction and the same amount of cars going in that direction. Of course, this is something like in dialogue or like in communication. And I see these kind of works also like information transport and not just transport of person.
What's particularly appealing in this work is the way in which it captures a world in flux, the fact that we exist in time as much as in space. And it is, of course, there in the subject matter, but it's also there in the process, which is extremely time-consuming. I'm Jonathan Watkins, and I'm the director of Icon Gallery, the first venue for an exhibition of Christiane Baumgartner's work in the UK.
Jonathan Watkins was introduced to Christiane's work back in 2004, when he was invited to Leipzig as part of a cultural exchange. Like me, he was instantly struck by the power of her images.
It was one of those situations where you walk into an artist's studio and within about 3 seconds you know that this is, you know, something that you want to pursue. The appeal of Christiane's work for me was immediate. One was the extraordinary ambition of it. I mean, the size of these woodcuts that she was making. And yet, at the same time, there was extraordinary discipline and yet extraordinary imagination that she brought to bear on these images of things that were fairly unremarkable, you know, things that are, you know, immediately within our orbit. Now, I found the technique that Christiane was using absolutely intriguing, this use of, you know, horizontal lines that sort of filter the imagery. So to some extent, you know, there's an abstraction of something that you recognize. It's almost as if the visual world is filtered for you. And it has a certain kind of flattening effect. I mean, you're very aware of the formal quality of the work. At the same time, you recognize that there is a kind of pictorial space that you're being drawn into. And, you know, it was that kind of push and pull visually that intrigued me, a kind of visual tension that was sort of set up between the sort of means of representation, this extraordinary technique of wood cut that she has and what it was that she represents.
We have the show in the gallery at the moment in London, and the title of that exhibition is Wish You Were Here, and that title is actually one of the largest woodcuts in the show. It's a view looking out to sea. Could you talk a little bit about the subject matter of that and why you made it?
I myself was on a ferry visiting this island, what I really love. It's one of my dreamlands. And it was such a beautiful, emotional atmosphere that I took some photographs.
And this is it in the Baltic Sea, in the north of Germany?
It's in the Baltic Sea. And then I cut the image over the next month. And for me, it was really this idea of longing, of, we have this word in German called Sehnsucht, what you wish or what you see in your inner eye. It's a journey in your mind. Yeah, it's about this. We were not allowed to travel as East Germans. We only could go to Czechoslovakia without any visa. So, and we had the West Germans next to us, and we were able to watch West German TV in Leipzig. Yeah, we had two West German programs, so we could see all the colorful world. Yeah, so this idea of being on the beach and looking in the sunset, we did this very often when we were on holiday, and sometimes you could sometimes see at a certain light a Danish island, so you could see the West. And actually, 2 weeks ago, I met someone in my age at this island who escaped East Germany with a paddle boat and together with his father.
Wow.
In 1984. And his grandmother has done the same, also with a paddle boat. And they both did it in February, the grandmother years earlier, and then he and his father as well. And this in February, and it must have been horrible cold and unbelievable, yeah.
In the summer of 1989, when she was just 19, she went to Hungary on holiday with her boyfriend. At the time, lots of East Germans were escaping through Hungary to the West, and she wondered if this was what he was planning.
But I mentioned it to him. I mentioned, "Are you sure we are going back, yes? Are you sure about this?" And he said, "Yes, I'm 100% sure I would never leave my mother alone in East Germany." And I said, "Okay, I just wanted to mention it, because not that we both didn't talk about it, being back, and maybe made the biggest mistake of our life. I just want to be aware of this, that I made it on purpose and not by accident." So we went back.
But a few weeks later, they went to visit her boyfriend's cousin in Berlin. And he said something that really stuck with her.
He said to me, "Hold on, Christiane, this won't last long anymore here." So it was.
Yeah.
He gave me.
And he gave you some hope.
Yes, some hope. And later on, I'm, of course, kind of happy that I have experienced these two systems.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a relief as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baumgartner is very much aware of her East German heritage. Growing up, she lived next door to a Stasi agent, and surveillance is a strong theme in her earlier works. But her approach to observation isn't only political.
She was always concerned about the act of seeing, the act of observation, and what happens in our eyes when we are looking at something.
Christian Rümelin again.
So this whole process of transforming a black and white or color image, a video still or a photograph, into a horizontal structure is about this act of seeing. And in the past few years, she got even more radical. She really goes into visual phenomena, cutting light, which is terribly difficult. How do you represent light in a woodcut? Or how do you represent snow in a woodcut? So you have to work with positive and negative effects, and that's really down to her interest in the act of seeing, in the act of perception itself.
I have bits where I took the wood totally away to have a really bright white, because it seems whiter. The paper color seems whiter when you have dark around than, for instance, compared to the paper margin around. So some needs to be really white. And here, because my transformation of the image is often not so good, so I made another computer printout and placed it here on the wood and take it up and down and decide which bits really need to stay, like this one. Actually, it's negative positive, so you have to think around the corner. And then I take everything else out. So that's why we got this transparent paper, what gives this hard noise.
One image that brilliantly captures light rippling on water is the wave. Reminiscent of Hokusai's iconic 19th century woodcut, it shows a colossal cresting wave, depicted an instant before crashing downwards. The image is rendered in incredible detail. You see the foam on top of the wave, the structure of the sea and the structure of the water.
It's in black and white, and it's quite sort of oppressive and frightening, but an extremely compelling image. I could not take my eyes off it when I first saw it. One almost feels as if it might engulf one, which sounds an extraordinary thing to say of a sort of two-dimensional print. For a long time, she'd wanted to do something that was a homage to Hokusai and his great wave. But rather than make a small print, which he printed in colours, actually, and using a new pigment called Prussian blue, she determined that it would be a black and white one. And when I saw it, it gave me actually some existential angst, because to me it suggested the refugee crisis, the terrible tsunami of 2004, in which 230,000 people died. It made me think about global warming and the tides rising. So there's a sort of welter of, you know, possible illusions and feelings that come out of it.
What I like about The Wave, and this is similar to some of her later water pieces, is that she has created an image which makes you feel as if you are actually there in the moment. She creates in the viewer a feeling of awe and wonder at the power of the natural world. There's a certain sort of violence embedded in these large landscapes, and that's particularly apparent in Phoenix, a print she made the following year, which is the same size as The Wave, but printed in colour.
The Phoenix is a pivotal work for me because she really is sort of embracing colour. And the starting point for that was an image on the internet that she saw of a volcanic ash cloud, you know, which she found very, very imposing. So she produced that by using at least five different colours. And, you know, again, as with The Wave, it's quite intimidating and frightening, but also extremely beautiful. And both of those works, to me, seem to reference the sublime. Edmund Burke, the 18th century philosopher, developed this theory of the sublime, that, you know, sort of catastrophic, imposing scenes and events in nature produce feelings of terror and intimidation. So these really seem to tap in, you know, it's a psychological phenomenon, and these works really tap into that.
Finally, Christiana, can I just talk to you about the largest work you've ever made, which is also installed in the gallery at the moment? It's called Stairway to Heaven. You were commissioned to make this work. It's a five-part woodcut of a waterfall. And I remember just before you had to send it off to Canada, because you were commissioned to make it for a biennial, the Manif d'Art biennial in Quebec City, I flew over to Leipzig and you'd set it up in your downstairs studio for us to have a look at. And I was just so overwhelmed by the scale of it, and also the way that you were able to capture that, the light on the water and the power of the water, and even the sound, actually, even the noise. You could hear the noise of that waterfall when you were standing in front of it. And I'm really delighted that we've got that work hanging in London now. But can we talk a bit about that piece, please?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pleased you're saying this with the noise, because I think I see my work different than everybody else does, because I had experienced the noise. So I, of course, hear the noise. But it's nice when you hear it as well. I'm pleased to hear this. Yeah, I mean, I went to Canada only for a short stay, for a few days. And Jonathan Watkins had told me that they got these waterfalls near Quebec. And because I just had made The Wave and Phoenix, I thought, waterfalls, one of a strong natural experience, could be interesting. I went back to this one waterfall on different times of the day, and also once early morning when the sunlight was right, reflecting the water in the way I wanted it. But I was mainly attracted by the idea of an maelstrom and this sound and this huge force of the water, of the ongoing falling water. You know, it can't stop. Yeah, you are sitting there. It was like a theater. It was like a stage. So it was really impressive, and I wanted to show it. And I think the falling water, I mean, they are really beautiful. Yeah. And then I decided to do 5 landscape format shaped images and point out this silver line, but place them in steps on the wall, that the silver line, that the horizontal line is even in one line.
And a continuity of a horizontal line is, well, it's important, obviously, in the way that water finds its level, but also, of course, it's a line that she's drawing continuously across her wood engravings. I mean, that's how she makes them. So when the 5 engravings are put together in the series, it's about 6 meters long. Very ambitious work. Very ambitious work.
You've been listening to Making a Mark from the Christea Roberts Gallery. To find out more about Christiana Baumgartner and the work we've been discussing, please visit www.christearoberts.com.